Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 21st, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me, of course, we got Imran, the Don Khan. Imran, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like Imran the Doom Khan today.
Imran the Doom Khan. Oh, because we just recorded a first impressions of Doom Eternal, which you can check out on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or podcast services around the globe. If you go to the Gamescast feed. Isn't that right, Bear? It's on the Gamescast feed if they want to listen to the first impressions as opposed to watching it.
Bro, I don't know.
But I would highly recommend watching it because it's fun to watch with the gameplay footage. Imran, you feeling good today?
Feeling great. How about you?
I'm distraught.
Why?
Imran, I'm feeling bad. Barrett, I'm going to need the one.
Hold on.
I'm going to need the one because I have some feelings to get out on this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily.
What grinds your gears?
Now, here's the thing. I've been seeing your comments. I've been seeing your posts on Twitter. I've been seeing your Reddit posts. And I understand. All right? I'm tired of it, too. And I know. It's my fault. Ever since I joined Kinda Funny Games, a lot of games have been getting delayed.
How dare you?
And I'm not saying that causation is correlation. Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Or no, correlation is cause.
Correlation does not mean causation.
Yes, that. I'm not saying whatever Imran just said in his microphone, right? But we all know, we all see the signs here, right? It's been a week of me hosting Kinda Funny Games Daily. It's been a week of delay after delay after delay after delay.
It was funny, like, looking at the thumbnail. I was just like, this game's delayed.
Yeah.
This game's delayed.
It's just like a thumbnail, and then you click in, and it's just me as host, and it's just like, I don't know, man. I'm sorry. Iron Man VR, Cyberpunk 2077, all the other games got delayed, Marvel's Avengers. But listen, I got to talk to the director, not to the directors, to the publishers and developers directly. All right, here's the thing. Delays, they're tough. I get it, man. Video games are hard to make. A delay, best case scenario, because the game ends up coming out better. But hear me out. Let's just not announce dates. Let's just keep the dates to the chest. That's all I'm saying, Barrett. Is that fine, Barrett?
I mean, that's what WB Montreal has been doing for the last 5 years.
Exactly. So. And that's hurt nobody.
Or even more, technically 7 years. Jesus, fuck.
We can go back to the two. Thank you, Barrett.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
No more dates.
No
game
more dates.
Just come out. That used to be the way it was, actually, like back in the mid-80s, because from a video game historian art perspective, it's very difficult to tell when certain games came out. Because they would, like, soft launch in some markets and then not come out in others. So, like, the actual date of, say, Mario Brothers is still kind of contested.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish we can go back to a time where every single video game release was a Beyonce release. Where all of a sudden, we're just chilling. We're just doing nothing. All of a sudden, Animal Crossing New Leaf 2 comes out. And we're like, wait, what? Where'd this come from?
I mean, that's just because we were dumb kids and we weren't paying attention to shit.
But I wish that would happen again, Barry.
We were dumb kids again?
Exactly.
It kind of happens these days, just with smaller games. But
yeah,
like,
I mean, that was Apex Legends, right? And that worked out so well for him.
I mean, like, if you think about last year, by this time last year, we didn't know Mario Maker 2 existed, and then by June, it was already out.
True.
And I really loved what Bethesda did for Fallout 4, where it was like E3, we're announcing it, fall, it's out.
Yeah.
It's a very easy thing. And I know it's not. I know it's definitely not easy for companies to do that. But
there have definitely been like people who have said, "What if the video game industry moved to a product completion and then marketing cycle?"
Mm.
And like, there are definitely benefits to that. It would probably stop some of these things happening.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how much of a reality it is for the way the game industry is structured currently.
If you propose that to investors, they'd be like, "How much time are you wasting?"
Yeah, they're like, "Wait, what? No,
why aren't you marketing concurrently? Like, what's going on?"
Exactly. But today, we're not talking about delays, thankfully. Today's stories include Ubisoft Splinter Cell news, Godfall leaks, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. New merch drops today, which I'm wearing. So the PS I Love You XOXO sweatshirt, which Barry put up on the screen when we get a second. If you look at me, if you're watching the video version, of course, I'm wearing it. And of course, I look great. Look at all these colors.
Yeah. Everyone was talking about how fucking amazing that PS I Love You like graphic treatment is.
Yes.
Now you can wear it.
Now you can wear it. You can have it on you. You know? If you're feeling risky, tattoo it on your chest.
Whoa.
You know?
Get risky, guys.
Get risky, guys.
Yeah, but first buy the shirt so the tattoo artist knows what to do, and then tattoo it on your chest.
Of course, that's available on kindoffunny.com/store. Also, another thing for housekeeping, I was on the Top 100 Games podcast hosted by friend of the show, Jared Petty.
Did he die? It was a wasted opportunity, blessing.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Barrett doesn't like the choice I made for the, I think, 88 game of all time.
Yeah.
What was your choice?
My choice was Burnout 3 Takedown. A game that I feel like if I didn't come through and bring that game, nobody would have mentioned it. And that game is for sure a top 100 game of all time in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so Burnout 3 Takedown, boom, best Burnout game. Even though Paradise is great, even though Revenge is great, Burnout 3 Takedown is where it's at. Of course, thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad Muhammad. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped, Riot Games, and Raid, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A bigger dozen.
Starting with the Splinter Cell creative director rejoining Ubisoft. This is reported by Andy Robinson of Video Games Chronicle. Former Splinter Cell creative director Maxime Blonde will rejoin Ubisoft after less than a year at Fortnite developer Epic Games, VGC understands. The creative director will return to become part of the company's reorganized editorial team, which has been expanded and restructured, partly in an attempt to make its games line up more varied. Blonde, I think that's pronounced Blonde. I'm just making up that pronunciation.
French. Fine.
Blonde spent over 20 years at Ubisoft working across its biggest franchise before his departure in 2019. He is best known for his work as lead designer and creative director for 2006's Rainbow Six Vegas before becoming game design director for the original Assassin's Creed. Blonde was creative director for two Splinter Cell titles, 2010's Conviction and 2012's Blacklist, the latter of which was the first game by Ubisoft Toronto, the studio he co-founded. Blonde was also the creative director of the Toronto-made portions of Far Cry 4, Far Cry 5, and Far Cry Primal, including 4's Shangri-La sections. In his new role, Blonde will act as a new vice president for Ubisoft's influential editorial team, helping guide various games across the company. The restructuring of Ubisoft's editorial team follows the disappointing sales performance of 2019 titles The Division 2 and Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which resulted in the delay of several games to ensure quality, including Watch Dogs Legion. Commenting on the delays, Ubisoft said it would implement significant changes to its production processes across the company. Imran, what is your take on this?
So Ubisoft's in a weird position right now, because like, usually their whole thing was they're going to fill the calendar with their games, and generally they do pretty well. Like, Ghost Recon Breakpoint aside has always sold extremely well. So it's interesting that they've hired Blonde back, and they're trying to, I guess, get him involved on something. Mm-hmm. That does not necessarily mean it's Splinter Cell.
Yeah, that's my thing, because I feel like this story, or at least like the titling of it, kind of points at a new Splinter Cell. And reports I've been seeing that also kind of talk about this have been pointing to the idea of like, oh yeah, they could be working on a new Splinter Cell.
But also he worked on several Far Cry.
Yeah, but he worked on a lot of Ubisoft games, like several Far Cry's, and the first Assassin's Creed, Rainbow Six Vegas. Like, there's a lot of maneuverability, and he's working on the editorial team, which I don't believe is responsible for developing like a sole game, right? Their whole thing is they are helping guide Ubisoft and making sure that their games are on track with each other.
Yeah, I don't think he joined Ubisoft to be like, all right, I have a great idea for what Sam Fisher does next. I think he has a bigger vision for the company as a whole.
Yeah, like lining up, like, okay, how does the Division 3 line up with the next Rainbow Six game, which lines up with Assassin's Creed, and how do these games have their own voices?
Yeah, which is also part of the problem Ubisoft's been having.
Exactly, right? That's a complaint that I've had with Ubisoft for a while, because I feel like at a certain point, I feel like a lot of people have had this complaint, right, that like, at a certain point, their games become formulaic, right? Open worlds with towers that you climb to unlock the map, and you are checking off lists as far as quests and missions you do in the open world. Like, mm-hmm. There's a certain structure to a lot of Ubisoft games, and a lot of people are into that, but at a certain point, it can become tiring and make their games seem like carbon copies of each other, mm-hmm. right? Which is what they've been talking about with this editorial team, and like what they've been seeing as far as the sales of Division 2 and Ghost Recon Breakpoint. And so going forward, they want to change that, which I think is a great, great, great vision for what the future of Ubisoft is, and bring on people that are familiar with Ubisoft's structure already and familiar with how Ubisoft kind of works as a company, in order to kind of guide that and lead that, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's going to be good for the company.
I mean, like, what was it? Last year, Yves Guillemot said, God, I'm trying to remember the quote in my head. It's like, we're not going to do new Splinter Cell because we don't have a good idea for one yet.
Yeah.
And I think they're still probably in that same boat of how do we change Splinter Cell? But do you think if they release a new Splinter Cell tomorrow and it's exactly like the same last couple of games they've made, mm-hmm. just modern graphics, modern technology, that it's going to be any, like, it will still be a massive success? Or?
I mean, I don't think it'll be a if they did a Splinter Cell, I don't know if it'll be a massive success in terms of, like, sales. Like, I'm sure the other Ubisoft games that at this point are bigger names, so you look at Assassin's Creed, they're multiplayer games, right? So Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six.
Beyond Good and Evil is still kicking around there somewhere.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 is somewhere in there, which I'm sure Beyond Good and Evil 2 is going to sell well, because that seems like it's going to be a massive project.
Right.
But in comparison to those, I don't know if Splinter Cell sales, like,
it'll do a few million.
It's yeah. Just like it'll do good, but yeah. It won't necessarily be, I don't think it would be a Ubisoft hit in that way, but I think critically, like, it could be good, and I think it'll be received well as far as audiences. Like, people are fans of Splinter Cell. I know my friend Alex Van Aken freaking loves Splinter Cell, along with my friend Roger Corney. Like, I have friends that are absolute, like, diehard Splinter Cell fans, mm-hmm. In ways that, like, I think even go beyond what diehard fans exist for other Ubisoft franchises. And so, like, I think them making a new Splinter Cell would go over well in that sense, but I don't think it necessarily is a, like, sales wise is going to do what other Ubisoft titles do.
Yeah, it's one of the, I think the delay ton, whatever they want to call that, delay-mageddon for all the Ubisoft games getting pushed out beyond having a date, period. Mm-hmm. I think that has made them more scared to take a risk right now.
Yes.
So a lot of people are going to think, like, well, Splinter Cell's not a risk because you've had so many quality games already. Mm-hmm. But to them, like, if you put that kind of budget, the budget people expect by the Splinter Cell game,
yeah,
behind a game that only sells a couple of million copies, the definition of a risk for them.
Yeah, it's different from a UbiArt title, for example, where you look at something like, what was the World War One 2D game? Valiant Hearts.
Valiant Hearts,
yeah. Yeah, look at something like Valiant Hearts, and was Child of Light, was that Ubisoft or was that EA?
That was Ubisoft,
right? So you look at the UbiArt games, and you're like, okay, well, these games obviously don't sell as much as Assassin's Creed, or even probably, like, they wouldn't sell as much as a Splinter Cell would, but there's a lot less budget involved, right? And though, like, the vision for those titles is different in scope and what they're out there to do compared to something like Splinter Cell, right? Like, Splinter Cell would need budget if you want a Splinter Cell game to do well.
It's kind of caught between that really awkward area of, this is sort of like an indie-ish budget, and they're massive AAA games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, they need, like, they, people who want a Splinter Cell game want the same budget as their massive AAA games.
Yes.
But they don't want to do that right now because of all these other reasons.
Now, how do you feel about this compared to Beyond Good and Evil 2, which is a game that I feel like doesn't have as much...
Which is a game, it's a very loaded thing for Beyond
Good. Like, well, Beyond Good and Evil as a franchise, right? I don't feel like Beyond Good and Evil has the name recognition that Splinter Cell does.
It was also announced at a really weird time where Ubisoft was fighting off an acquisition from Vivendi.
Yeah. And so, but, like, I feel like them putting the amount of time and budget into Beyond Good and Evil 2 seemingly as they are,
I don't know what the fuck's up with that game, honestly.
It's such an interesting decision, especially in the context of this conversation, where it's almost like, why not do a Splinter Cell? If you're doing Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Because you're already doing a Beyond Good and Evil 2 is the answer to that question.
Fair. Yeah. So it's interesting. Anakin JMT writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Imran. With the news that Maxime Bolland is returning to Ubisoft, my question is simple. Assuming a new Splinter Cell game is coming, which was rumored back in 2018, should development of it be restarted in light of Ubisoft wanting to make their games feel more different, or should they plow ahead and risk the game feeling like other Ubisoft games? The last two have felt different from other Ubisoft titles, but I worry any new game that has been worked on would feel like other titles. What say you, Blessing and Imran? So, there's a lot going on in this question, mm-hmm. right? But at the core of it is games that Ubisoft have already been working on. Do they restart it with this new idea? Do they restart them with this new idea in mind? Or do they plow on? Or how does that work?
Let's say, hypothetically, Assassin's Creed Ragnarok.
Yes.
Like, would they restart it with new idea, like a fresh look at it?
Is what you're asking.
it would probably, unless it's something that could be added, you know, somewhere deep, like Breath of the Wild is a good example. At some point in Breath of the Wild's development, they discovered, or they had a new breakthrough with physics. They're like, you know, we could make this a very systems-heavy game. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being what the game actually was, so they had to delay it like 2 years. Yeah. If it's that kind of foundational change, then I think, yeah, let's take the, as a consumer, I'm saying let's take the risk. Yeah. I think every investor would be like, no. Because mm-hmm. right now, like, this is the first beginning of the year, in a, like first quarter in a long time.
That hasn't had a Ubisoft game?
Yeah, there's nothing major. Like, what was it last year? It was Far Cry.
Yeah, Far Cry, before that was New Dawn.
Far Cry again.
Far Cry 5, yeah.
Like, it's they've got nothing right now, and it was supposed to be Watch Dogs, supposed to be Gods and Monsters, yeah. And now it's not, like, those are somewhere further in the ether.
Yeah. I feel like, say they're 2 years into making an Assassin's Creed, or 2 years into making a Splinter Cell, or whatever the theoretical game might be here, right? I think, one, I don't know how development works over at Ubisoft. Like, maybe, you know, 2 years in, at that point, you don't even start over. You just, the game's not far along yet that you can just pivot where you are right now and you know, implement those changes. I think Ubisoft, as big of a moving ship that it is, it gets difficult to restart a game from scratch. Like, yeah, that does require, that does involve investors, and that does involve people at Ubisoft to be like, all right, yeah, like, let's throw away all this work that we've already done on this game, because all of a sudden, like, you know, visions change for whatever reason. Like, I think that becomes difficult to do.
It's like multiple international teams at that point. Like, yeah, that was Assassin's Creed's problem for a long time, was because there were teams that specialized in doing things as the Assassin's Creed tradition dictated, that series struggled for a long time because they couldn't change anything because the ship was too big to move.
Yes. And so I don't see them restarting games that have been in development for a couple years, right? Yeah. If something, maybe at, and even if they are at the beginning of development, I think that's just more so of a pivot than an actual, like, all right, guys, throw it all out the window. We are starting this Assassin's Creed from scratch. Like, I don't think that's necessarily how that would work.
Yeah, I think Ubisoft realizes they need to diversify their portfolio a lot. I don't think we're going to see that immediately.
Yeah.
I think that's a maybe mid-next generation kind of feel.
Now, for the games that they delayed, though, so you look at Watch Dogs Legion, you look at Gods and Monsters, you look at, I imagine, Ghost Recon Quarantine, because I forget when they announced that was supposed to come out, but I feel like it was
Rainbow
supposed to be spring.
Six Quarantine.
Rainbow Six Quarantine, yes. I think that was
supposed to be this year. It was one of the delayed titles.
What kind of changes at this point, given the context of the editorial team and what they're doing, do you think those games get? Because those games, I imagine, are, you know, towards the end of their development, and I imagine they're coming out later this year still.
Watch Dogs would have theoretically have gone gold in like a week or two, honestly.
Yeah. And so what kind of changes late in the game do you think those games could possibly get? Like, do you think it's just polishing changes? Do you think it's maybe those games weren't necessarily in the place they expected them to be? Or
so it's a weird thing, because, like, when Yves Guillemot was talking about Ghost Recon, it wasn't clear that he knew what was actually wrong with it. Like, he gave two different reasons of people thought it was too samey, and also it changed too many things. So, like, maybe they are not sure. Maybe the fan base is giving them conflicting messages about why they didn't end up buying the game, or they didn't end up liking it, or whatever. So I don't know what lessons they're taking from that into Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs Legion.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Watch Dogs 1 was actually a pretty unpolished game. It was fairly glitchy in a lot of places. So maybe they're looking like, okay, we've got another 6 months. Let's polish this to a spit shine. Like, let's make sure that when this comes out, alongside, oh god, now it's coming probably alongside Cyberpunk and Avengers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, that it has enough, it's more than just the concept, it is the concept and the execution put, like, to 100%.
Yeah.
Pushing that lever to 11, basically.
Yeah. This Ubisoft stuff is very interesting to me, because I think it's gonna possibly reflect on their whole future as a company. Yeah. Like, as far as, like, what their output looks like in next gen, like,
yeah, now that they're free of Vivendi, like, free of that specter, what do they look like now?
Exactly, like, free of that kind of scary ghost hovering over them, and also, like, you know, seeing what I feel like a lot of consumers kind of saw, as far as, like, their games kind of being samey and all that stuff, right? Like,
But again, they all sold super well up until this last year.
And so, like, what changes do you make so that you're still selling, but also making stuff that is interesting for us to play? And I'm curious, because they already did the thing where they changed the structure, like the release structure of Assassin's Creed, to being from yearly to then being
then they made it yearly again, and then they stopped again. It's
And so, like, I wonder, like, and I also wonder, like, how does Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Origins, the sales of that compare to the yearly thing? Like, are they losing out on a year of sales now, or like how does that look? And does that then influence the rest of, or does that influence their next gen strategy?
Right.
I'm very curious, but I'm very hopeful at the same time. Like, I think that the restraint they're showing in terms of delaying everything and being like, hey, let's take a second and let's regroup, I think is kind of admirable, and I think it'll only reflect well on the games.
Yeah, hopefully. Like, I want to see Ubisoft do well, because Ubisoft has a lot of my favorite IPs, and they made a lot of my favorite games. So hopefully whatever soul searching they're doing in the woods right now, they're able to figure out exactly what it is they want to do, and it brings them to, you know, market success. Because they've not necessarily taken that for granted, but it seems like it catches them off guard of what sells and what doesn't. And this is the first point I've seen them go like, okay, well, nothing worked.
It catches me off guard too, because I'm shocked that I remember in 2017 when Ghost Recon Wildlands released, and that was like the best-selling game of the year for a minute.
Up until Call
of Duty came out. And I remember the whole time being like, and like I think I was listening to KFGD, and they would talk about like the sales, and it would always be at the top, and I'd be like, why? Yeah. Like, Ghost Recon Wildlands, like, not a bad game by any means, but not like the best. Like, that game came out after Breath of the Wild and Horizon, which are of course exclusives, but also, like, I forget what else came out that year, but it was a big year for video games. For Ghost Recon Wildlands to be the one that was like shining, I was like, wait, really? This one?
I mean, I was working at a Best Buy when Division 1 came out. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, my manager saying, yeah, we're doing a midnight launch for it. I'm like, what? For the Division? Are we serious? And that game ended up selling, doing fucking gangbusters. Yeah.
And then, like, piggybacking off of that, right, to hear that last year, Division 2 and Ghost Recon Breakpoint didn't do what they wanted it to do, blows my mind, considering
they were direct the sequels.
Yeah, they're direct sequels.
And in some ways, in a lot of ways, Division 2 is better. And
yeah.
Like, it's weird that it just didn't catch on the same way.
Yeah. And of course, like, their reasoning for that was that, like, games came out too close to each other and all this stuff, which I guess is also influencing probably them delaying games.
And also how many games as service games can you sell to people who are still, like, enjoying the old one?
Exactly. So it's an interesting whole ball of wax, but I'm excited to see how this acquisition... or I don't know
this hiring.
Hiring. I don't know if you can acquire a person yet, but how
it will affect their future.
This change in Ubisoft's structure kind of affects their future in general.
I'm just saying, bring back Tonic Trouble.
Bring back what?
Tonic Trouble.
The guy who kind of looks like Rayman but isn't really Rayman.
There's an N64 game, and that Tonic game fucking Trouble. Ruled. That game was dope.
You would recognize it if you saw it. It's that weird purple guy.
Tonic. Nope, I don't recognize it.
What?
And this is weird, because I consider myself like...
An N64 connoisseur?
An N64 connoisseur.
It's a Rayman ripoff.
Yes.
By the creators of Rayman.
That's funny.
I also want a new Rayman. I don't think it's going to do gangbusters for them, but fuck it. Just make a new Rayman.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to see them bring back UbiArt titles. Like, I thought that was like a really cool thing. And I liked...
It's weird how they like gave up on that.
Yeah, they just stopped all of a sudden. And I feel like Valiant Hearts and Shadow of Light were really well received.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think Ubisoft does... that so thing better than EA does.
There's
with their
actually
EA indie games.
A thing about that where the director of Child of Light, he pitched Child of Light 2, and Ubi, I think, ended up canceling it or saying no or something like that. Because I think his quote was something like, if it's not going to sell 3 million copies, they don't want to do it.
What? Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Like,
that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do UbiArt titles to sell copies. Like, I don't think that's why you start that program.
I mean, that's a thing. Like, that is why Ubisoft seems kind of lost, is they need to diversify their portfolio, and they don't really.
Interesting. Yeah, that's weird. Number two, Doom Eternal preview impressions have dropped, and I'm pulling these quotes from various sources. Polygon says, quote, Doom Eternal is like Evil Dead 2 made on an Avengers sized budget. GameSpot says, Doom Eternal's first 3 hours throw more at you than all of Doom 2016. Game Radar says, Doom Eternal is bigger, smarter, and bloodier than ever before. And then IGN says, I went into the article to pull this whole quote. Quote, it's going to take a lot to top the heavy metal masterpiece that was the single-player campaign of Doom 2016, of 2016's Doom. But 3 hours of hands-on time with its follow-up would suggest that Doom Eternal is rocking the right kind of riffs. Its environments are more open and densely packed with secrets, its enemy types more nuanced in their strengths and weaknesses, and its reworked combat loop is more cerebral but no less adrenaline-charged, consistently taxing your brain while still encouraging you to bang your head. Imran, we just got done with the first impression stream of Doom Eternal, and in two sentences, how sum up your thoughts on Doom Eternal?
Well, now I'm worried about saying the word cerebral, because now I'm worried, like, did they say that at the thing, and that's why everyone...
Oh, yeah, is everybody using the word cerebral?
Like, the way that every, like, Control review had the word brutalist in it?
Yeah, or the way, like, every video game review in the early... From, like, 2005 to 2015 had the word visceral in it.
My two-sentence preview of Doom Eternal is... God, I don't want to say that game rocks, but honestly, that's kind of how I feel. Of like, if you like Doom 2016, this is that game, but better.
Yeah. It's easy. I feel like it's so easy to see Doom and be like, oh yeah, this is a mindless shooter. Because to some extent, it is, but at the same time, it is, quote, cerebral. Like, you are thinking heavily about what you're doing. You're, like, puzzle solving on the quick.
It has a Halo kind of feel. Like, you know how Halo has those big open arenas for most of its battles?
Yes.
Like, Doom 2016 has that kind of feel, but for Doom. Of, like, I need to actually think about how tactically I'm going to take this thing on.
Yeah. Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Imran. Doom Eternal previews have dropped, and so far, everything looks positive. If id Software is able to help ZeniMax out of the hole that was Fallout 76 with a stellar Doom game, where do you think the parent company will go with their next game? As much as I'm excited for Elder Scrolls 6, it still seems so far away. Will they fit in something else before then, and if so, what? Thanks for all you do, Frankfurter. First of all, I want to shout out that Starfield is coming out before Elder Scrolls 6 for sure, probably.
Is that game still called Starfield?
Yeah, I think they at their E3 where they announced it, it was Starfield still. Like, it was rumored to be, I think, codenamed Starfield, but then it came out that, game is actually called Starfield. And that was announced, in the same E3 press conference that they ended with Elder Scrolls 6.
Would have been 2018.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, I feel like it's all but confirmed Starfield is coming before Elder Scrolls 6. Elder Scrolls 6 is further down the road. So they're going to have that. And then I also want to shout out, they have games like Deathloop. If we're talking about ZeniMax overall as like the publisher, right? They have Deathloop. They have Ghostwire Tokyo. Like, they have other games that they're also working on.
Well, I mean, but speaking of companies lost in the woods, Bethesda seems really weird these days.
Like, they do.
Doom is great.
Doom is great, yeah.
But
I played Wolfenstein Youngblood, and that game was trash. Like, that game was not good compared to Wolfenstein 2, which was one of the best games of the generation.
It's so disappointing, too, because it's co-developed by Arcane and I'm blanking on the name of the Wolfenstein developer.
Id.
Is that
it? No, Machine Games.
Machine Games. I
was thinking of Doom for a second.
And, like, I fucking love those two developers, and I love Arcane.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking on everything right now?
Arcane Machine, Dishonored.
Dishonored, thank you. And I would have thought, like, oh yeah, level design from Dishonored put into a Wolfenstein game? Let's do it.
It turned out.
No, those weren't the problems. It was that they decided to add weird RPG elements where everybody's a fucking level and it doesn't make sense.
It's weird.
I hate it.
Like, the level design was, like, it was a problem, but it was definitely not the biggest problem with that game. The biggest problem with that game is just that they had no vision. Like, they wanted it to be a Destiny Borderlands game.
Yeah, I think the first hour of that game where you're on the ship is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, when it's just a Wolfenstein game.
Yeah. Like, that
first
mission is
really
cool.
Before they introduced, like, the, like, oh, yeah, here are the different zones and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, playing it then, I was like, okay, this looks like it's going to go in a decent direction. Yeah. But the more and more you play it, the more and more you're like, oh, the story here is kind of half-baked. Oh,
did you finish it?
I got to what would have been the last boss. And, you know, did you play it?
Yes.
So, you know how on the raid missions you are essentially like going through and you have like shared lives or whatever, if you run out or if you die you have to go all the way back to the beginning, and before every boss you have to kill, or before like the end of every level you have to like kill the people that like hold keys or whatever. I got to that and me and my co-op partner, we killed the last person that was supposed to have the key so we can progress to the end of that last raid mission, and the key dropped through the world and we were able to get it. And so like we tried killing ourselves, and it was like, since it's the shared life system, we had to
completely one, game over.
You had to completely game over it and start at the very beginning, and we were just like, no, we're not doing this. Let's just play Tekken 7 instead. Yeah. And so I never finished
did
it.
Did you get
that.
To the did you find BJ is I guess what I'm getting at. You
I
would
think
know.
I did. I don't think I did. I got past the part where like there's a pivotal cutscene where there's like a twist that happens where you're like, oh
yeah. So the part where you find BJ is after that. I'm not gonna spoil it.
Gotcha.
But it's like it actually kind of pissed me off because it's such a cool thing and so incredibly important for the Wolfenstein story that I'm like, why did you put it in this game? Why could this not have been in a better game?
God, yeah. It's a bummer. But yeah, that's the type of thing that. I think kind of feeds into what Frank is talking about here, right? With Fallout 76 coming through and flopping. Then you have Wolfenstein Youngblood coming mm-hmm. through and flopping. And like, I can't really... Those are really the only two examples I can really think of. I feel like there was a third example,
I mean,
but
Ghostwire does not seem to be going great. Like, they announced that game with Akumi Nakamura.
And then, a month later,
she left.
Pieces out.
I don't know. Like, she still has not completely explained what that was, but I'm guessing it was not, you know, a nice leaving. I'm guessing it was pretty acrimonious.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when Elder Scrolls 6 does come out, it's going to sell a bajillion copies across 50 systems.
Yeah. And, like, Starfield, I imagine Starfield will be just, like, another core Bethesda Studios, not JRPG, RPG.
But is it Fallout in space again? Was that going to be enough to get people interested?
And that's a good question. It'll be enough for me because... I liked Fallout 4. Like, I love the Fallout games.
I love
and
3. 4 did not do much for me.
Any sort of, like, first-person RPG, like Bethesda, like Outer Worlds, I didn't love Outer Worlds, but mm-hmm. I liked it enough to where I beat it, and it scratched that itch so well for me. But any sort of, like, first-person Bethesda RPG, I imagine it'll be enough to get me in. But, yeah, I mean, will it set the world on fire is the question, and I don't...
It depends on how,
point,
like,
we don't know.
There's a certain, like, aspirational quality to space that I don't think a lot of games hit. Like, Mass Effect did this extremely well of making it feel like an actual, like, you know, the next big thing that humanity can do kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If they hit that tone, then I bet I, like, will be in love with that game. But if they, like, if it's just Elder Scrolls, but this time you're in a space colony, I'm like, I'm not that interested in that. We'll see, because it's hard to judge. They've not said anything about that game. At this point, it is for sure a next-generation game and not...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm very interested in it. But Doom Eternal does seem to be, like, it's going to be the first win for Bethesda and ZeniMax
in a while.
In a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least, like, a year or so.
They've had a weird couple of... Like, they've had a weird generation and a half, honestly. They used to be a publisher that would just do whatever. Like... I'm not saying Wet was a good game, but it was an interesting game.
Yeah, Wet was interesting. Brink was a weird, fun idea that did not pan out.
Yeah. They did a lot of experimental shit back in, like, the 360 generation. It's like, that's where Dishonored really came from.
Yeah, and also Rage 2, I think, was another game I was thinking of.
No one remembers Rage 2.
Nobody remembers Rage 2, right? And it just came out last year. And that was the third game I was thinking of that didn't necessarily pan out. Like, Rage 2, from all intents and purposes, I think seemed like it was fine from reviews, but it definitely didn't...
It's like the biggest gulf between marketing and game I've ever seen.
Well, yeah. Where, like, the marketing, you're like, oh, this is going to be, like, a crazy, like, Borderlands-y, like, kind of thing. And then you play it, and you're like, oh, this is a regular open-world game. But, Rage 2 didn't set the world on fire like I think people thought it would.
Or people hoped.
People hoped. Yeah. Like if you look at a game like Doom or a game like Wolfenstein 2, right, like, those games really, like, connected with people in a way that Rage 2 did not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's been a weird generation because you had them coming into the generation with like Wolfenstein 1 and Fallout 4, and, you know, all right.
They've
had
more misses than hits this generation, I think.
But they've also had Doom and Dishonored 2 and Wolfenstein 2, and it's. Like, the wavering in quality from being, like, they're almost like platinum in a way, where it's, like, you have good Bethesda published games, and then you have, like, medium Bethesda published games, and then you have Fallout 76. Like, right. You kind of don't know what you're going to get at a certain point, except from individual studios. Like, in software, you know, you're going to get a great game. But even that said, Arcane and Machine worked together on a game. It came out. It was mid. It was not that great.
Tango Gameworks made Evil Within. Was not a good game.
That's what I was thinking about, yeah.
But Evil Within 2 is fucking amazing.
Is it really?
Yes. You should really play that. If you like horror games, Evil Within 2 is honestly what it
game
is.
Real spoopy.
It's like, honestly, I would put it not at RE4 quality in terms of, like, action horror games, but, like, up there.
Hmm. might try it.
Yeah.
I might give it a shot. I heard nobody talk about it when it came out.
No, that's the thing. That's part of the problem is, like, their weird marketing is they had this amazing game. The first time you heard about it was E3 in a CG trailer, and then they just didn't talk about it again until release.
Interesting. But yeah, Evil Within was another one that came out toward the beginning of the generation that, like, if you look at Evil Within, Wolfenstein 1, and I guess Loop and Fallout 4, even though Fallout 4 was probably, like, I think it was, like, a year or so later.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, they didn't necessarily start off on the strongest foot, but it was a better foot than Wet and Brink,
yeah.
Right? And so you look at them, you're like, okay, these are some cool games that are coming out. And then, like, they step it up with Dishonored 2 and those other games, right? And you're like, oh, let's freaking go. And now they're just like, this last year and a half has been weird. And so you kind of don't know where you're going to get. Doom Eternal seems like it's going to be a good step. And then from there, like, I don't.
I mean, it's kind of the Ubisoft problem we're talking about. They play it so safe.
But do they, though?
They do. Like, they're mostly cut off Dishonored at this point, and Arkane just working. Like, what is... Do we really know what the... God, what was the game called? Time Looper?
Deathloop.
Deathloop. Like, do we... We don't really know what that game is. We saw a really cool CG trailer.
And they had... On the Deathloop website, they have a description of it that is like, okay, yeah, this is going to be essentially an immersive sim the way that Dishonored was. Mm-hmm. And so you have some sort of... You have some sort of idea, given who Arkane is, what that game is going to be. But, yeah, we've not really seen a gameplay trailer, but... That's one similar to Doom Eternal where I'm like, that game has to be good, right? Yeah. That game can't come out and be bad, right?
What did you say about that recently? You're like, Death Stranding can't
Death Stranding
be bad.
Death Stranding can't be bad. And I was right. That game was excellent.
From what I gather, Deathloop is essentially just Dishonored but a new IP, which I think is something that they need.
Yeah.
Because, like, those systems and the way they build level design and all that stuff is, like, fucking amazing, and it just, like, no one was ever, like, I don't think the mass audiences were ever really sold on Dishonored, which sucks, because it's a really cool universe, so I think they just, like, kind of need to get away from that. So
Dishonored definitely, I think, could use a break, and then they come back to it later, because, like, I feel like that's a game that people could get tired of kind of quickly
I don't know if they ever go back to it.
To Dishonored? Yeah. They will. They have to. People love Dishonored too much for them to just, like, never
if
come back
to it.
If
they loved Dishonored 2, it would have sold well.
Yeah, but, like, I've
heard Death of the Outsider is a pretty definitive ending, though, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I just started it, actually.
I never finished it.
Like, I started it, and I was like, I'm not in the mood for this right now. Yeah. And I did go back to it. But I feel like Dishonored 2, I feel like it's kind of a Mirror's Edge situation, where Mirror's Edge, I don't know if Mirror's Edge really sold, like, crazy.
It did not, no.
Yeah,
no.
But there was enough love for Mirror's Edge that they made Catalyst, and Catalyst wasn't the greatest game. But
and then that sold badly.
And that sold really
Yeah, but Dishonored 2 was at least, like, a good game. Like, Mirror's Edge, Catalyst was not great, and it sold bad. Dishonored 2 is at least great.
I'm actually way more interested in Deathloop now that you guys are telling me it's like Dishonored.
Yeah, Deathloop looks awesome.
I don't like that you're comparing Dishonored 2 to Mirror's Edge Catalyst because...
No, I'm not comparing Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
You were, though.
I'm comparing Dishonored 2 to Mirror's Edge 1. Which is an excellent game. Mirror's Edge 1 is great.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm saying, like, I could see them being, like, midway through Next Generation being like, people love Dishonored 2. Let's just make Dishonored 2, guys, and have it be something like that.
EA is also a company that's lost in the woods.
I think they've seen, like, they don't know how to sell that franchise. Yeah, I think they're just going to move on.
Yeah.
I hope not, man. They'll come back to it.
Want them to go back to it. I just don't think it's realistic.
Number 3, gameplay of PS5 launch title Godfall allegedly leaks online. I'm pulling this from Charlie Hall over at Polygon. A video allegedly showing early gameplay for Godfall, the upcoming third-person melee title from Counterplay and Gearbox Publishing, has leaked online. The original poster on Reddit has deleted the profile, but what appears to be a complete video of their clip quickly turned up elsewhere. Polygon has reached out to Gearbox to determine its authenticity. Announced during the Game Awards in December, Godfall is described as a looter slasher which features armored warriors with animalistic abilities. Built on the Unreal Engine 4, the game will be a PlayStation 5 console exclusive and also come to PC via the Epic Games Store. The leak video shows flashy third-person melee action, but is free of any user interface elements. The developer, Counterplay, is an independent studio out of California whose previous works includes the hybrid collectible card game and tabletop strategy game called Duelist, released in 2016. The team includes industry veterans with experience working on Call of Duty, Destiny 2, and Diablo 3, among other titles. The game is expected to be available over the holidays, coinciding with the launch of the PS5. And I feel like regularly we would bring the footage up to show on the show, but since it's leaked footage, I don't want the YouTube version of the show to get taken down. And
it's
so,
not hard to find.
Yeah, it's not hard to find. Like, literally, I pulled this story from Polygon. I believe Polygon linked to it. And so you'll be able to find it if you want to find the leaked gameplay. But yeah, it's some of the first PS5 gameplay footage that we get to see. And I watched it. Imran, I think you watched it too. It looks like an early PS5 game.
It looks like a PS4 game with a lot more effects going on.
Yeah.
And like that's what we expect of launch title. So I'm not like, the game itself doesn't look super interesting, but that's fine. Like, we don't know anything about it. If it was part of the trailer, I think we would have been, like, losing our minds when we saw it the first time.
Yeah. My thing is, I think it looks fun with the idea of multiplayer and it being a, quote, looter slasher in mind. Like, I look but at the...
That's such a bullshit term.
It's like, a weird term, but you understand what they mean when they say that.
No, they don't want to say Diablo-like. That's what's happening.
Yeah. And they don't, like, and they want to analogize it. Is
to Borderlands.
Yeah, they want to analogize it to something like, yeah, Borderlands or Destiny, right? But make it clear that you're not shooting in it.
It's swords, not guns.
It's swords, not guns. And, you know, if you, looking at the gameplay, just looking at it as a game, you're like, all right, this is whatever. Like, it doesn't look bad, but it doesn't look like anything interesting.
It looks like the kind of game you expected to launch for a system.
Yeah.
Of like, oh,
but
cool.
For me, with the idea that like, oh, wait, okay, I'm going to be playing this game, but I'm also going to be like collecting loot and playing with my friends, that... I feel like that kind of uplifted it for me. I was like, oh, I could see some fun in this.
So here's the thing. Here's what I love about launches for system or for new systems is that launches suck ass because there's no like games, but that means you're finding these really interesting things you would never play otherwise.
Yeah, no, so, 100%. I played a lot of Warframe because of that.
Like, I found one of my favorite games of all time, Ostatake Oendon for the DS.
Okay.
Because there was nothing else. And like, I need a game. I'm just going to import this weird Japanese rhythm games.
Yeah.
I fucking love that game, but because there was nothing else to play, that's why I first started playing it.
Yeah.
So I love getting it on launch for those reasons.
See, I think I played a game called PlanetSide 2 near, I don't know if it was at launch, but it was like a year after launch I was playing. It was like a free-to-play, like big old first-person shooter that I played. I still don't understand what the rules of that game were. I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew was that I was shooting stuff, and I was like, this is fun enough, and it's free, because there was nothing else to play. But yeah, Godfall looks... like it's going to be a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Number four, Sega will announce Sonic news on the 20th of every month in 2020. This is by James O'Connor over at GameSpot. It's the year of dreams, Barrett. Sonic is happening every month on the 20th of every month.
It's the year of blessings dreams.
It's the year of my dreams for sure. Sonic the Hedgehog is gearing up for a big 2020. Sega has announced, according to the translations from Gamatsu, the Sonic 2020 project, which will see new Sonic news being announced on the 20th of every month this year. The first announcement is a bit of a cheat, as the Sonic 2020 project itself is January's Sonic news. February is already going to be a big month for the Blue Blur, with the Sonic the Hedgehog movie finally arriving in cinemas on February 14th. I don't know why we're talking about the Sonic movie right now in this article.
Why are we never, like, we should always be talking about the Sonic movie.
I mean, fair. Sega has celebrated by releasing various wallpapers, banners, and icons based on Sonic, including a Twitter header image for fans to use. It's not yet clear what sort of news we'll see each month and whether we'll see any new games being announced. I find that hilarious because up until today, my Twitter banner was a Sonic image.
I think mine is too, actually.
Is it really? I had Baby Sonic as the header image until a best friend who a best friend did a tweet thread of all the empty sets for Kinda Funny. And so, like, they tweeted that because aesthetically actually looks really cool.
Yeah.
Their Twitter is at @Arvel_Crynyd. That's ARVEL_CRYNYD, right? They tweeted that thread, and then I took the PSLW set and set that as my current banner. But yeah, I had a Sonic banner as my banner for a long time.
I mean, I'll just say this is a much better banner choice, your new one.
How dare you? Baby Sonic?
Sonic has one good game.
Sonic has at least two, first of all.
It's called Sonic Mania, and that is it.
Sonic Mania and Sonic 2. And Sonic 3 was good. And Sonic 1.
I like Sonic 3. Sonic 3 and Knuckles is a powerful combo.
The first Sonic the Hedgehog was revolutionary. Green Hill Zone is great.
I would say the first Sonic is not a great game. Sonic 1, I would say, is not a great game.
Oh, how dare you.
It set a lot of foundations for, and had like really cool physics stuff. Not really that fun to play.
This is wrong. This is wrong.
If you went back to Mario World today, I think you would have a great time. If you went back to Sonic 1, you would probably have much less of a good time.
Here's the thing: I go back to Sonic 1 all the time, but so I can't really make that call because it's already ingrained in my brain.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not gonna make the claim that it aged as well as Mario World. Like Mario World, obviously, like the better game.
I will say, Colors Generations.
Yeah,
like,
Colors Generations, great games. I really
Forces
like,
is hot garbage.
Forces is bad. Sonic Heroes, I like, but I'm not gonna really like put a flag in the ground to be like, all right, guys, Heroes is the greatest game of all time. Also, Sonic Unleashed was half good. Half great, even, actually. Sonic Unleashed was half great. And, like, the Werehog levels in Sonic Unleashed weren't that bad.
They were pretty bad.
They weren't that bad,
They were pretty bad. I would recommend to you that there's a PC mod for Generations. Mm. They just ported over all the Sonic Unleashed daytime levels to that. So, like, there's no Werehog at all. You just play through those levels.
Interesting.
Cool.
I might have to check that out. Number 5, we have breaking news. Xbox Project xCloud adds Destiny 2, Halo the Master Chief Collection, and more titles. Microsoft has expanded its lineup of Xbox One titles available under the Project xCloud preview, seemingly welcoming over a dozen new games to its streaming library. The ongoing invite-only test serves full-fledged Xbox One gaming over the cloud to mobile devices, now adding Destiny 2, Sid Meier's Civilization 6, various Telltale games, published titles, among other existing Xbox hits. Other additions: Halo the Master Chief Collection, Destiny 2, Sid Meier's Civilization 6, Batman the Enemy Within the Complete Season, Batman the Telltale Series the Complete Season, The Wolf Among Us, Wasteland 2 Director's Cut, The Surge, Super Hot, Portal Knights, Goner, Blueberry Edition, Kingdom 2 Crowns, Sparklight, which I think I demoed at a PAX once and it was alright, Trax the Train Set Game, and Train Sim World 2019. I think Greg added this story, and so I hadn't read it yet. And so the Train Set Game caught me very off guard.
The
Train Set Game. Xbox Project xCloud preview is now live in the US, UK, and Korea, while Xbox console streaming, leveraging at-home Xbox hardware, is now available in all Xbox-supported countries. Microsoft has detailed plans to expand Project xCloud to Canada, India, Japan, and Western Europe, on track for later in 2020. Now, Imran Khan, I'm excited to see what games beyond these games come out for Project xCloud. But the announcement of more xCloud games is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to the mom and grop shops today, where do I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Before I get to out today, I'm going to read the ads since we're late in the show. This episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Introduction support for Kind of Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. It's 2020, and you know what that means. New year, new me, new balls. Men, listen up. Hairy bushes are so 2019, which I don't even know if they were 2019. If you're going to pick any New Year's resolution this year, let it be to take care of your junk. Manscaped is making it easy with their grooming products. Greg and Tim used Manscaped, and 2 out of 2 ladies surveyed liked that. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just dirty. Fellas, please don't. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and most moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Start the new year off the right way by using the best tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code GAMES. Next, we're brought to you by Riot. New year, new you, right? Well, it's also time to change for the LCS North America's official League of Legends professional league. The 2020 season kicks off Saturday, January 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on watch.lolesports.com, and there's never been a better time to become an LCS fan. You may be wondering, if I've never watched, will I have an idea of what's going on? Don't worry, LCS hosts and casters will make sure you can follow all of the action. This will be an exciting start as the latest game update, Rise of the Elements, introduces permanent map and buff changes for the players to deal with. Plus, there's truly a team for anyone to root for. Maybe you want to see a classic team, a classic like TSM rise again. Join Team Liquid to see if they can secure yet another championship title, or lean into your darker desires with one of the newest teams, Evil Geniuses. So are you ready for some league? Good, because there's even more this season to enjoy with Monday Night League joining the schedule. Catch the games Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific, Sundays at noon Pacific, and Monday Night League at 5:30 p.m. Pacific on watch.lolesports.com, Twitch, or YouTube. That's watch.lolesports.com, twitch.tv/LCS, or youtube.com/LOLesports for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday Night League action. Thanks, LCS. Lastly, we're brought to you by Raid. Introducing Raid Shadow Legends. Raid is a mobile RPG done right. Not every RPG game must be cartoony and cutesy. Enough with candy, rainbows, unicorns, and bright colors. Get real, raw, dark, epic, and awesome. Raid Shadow Legends will take you to the world of dark fantasy and realism. And now, you can play Raid both on mobile and on your desktop. The game is cross-device, so you can play with the same user and switch between devices whenever you want and however you want. Raid has all the features you'd expect from a brand new RPG title: an amazing storyline, awesome 3D graphics, giant boss fights, PvP battles, and hundreds of champions to collect and customize. But I never expected to get this level of performance out of a mobile game. And in Raid, you have the ability to personally customize and choose the artifacts and design a unique mastery build for each one of them. And the best part is free to play. The invitation to download the game, more than 15 million players worldwide have already downloaded the game. And the best part, it is free to play. I think this is written in twice. So go and click the link in the description box and start playing. Clicking on this link will not just enjoy one of the best mobile games of the moment, but you'll also be supporting this podcast. So what are you waiting for? Download Raid via my links. Patreon.me. That's patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid, which you will also find below in the description, and get a special package with 100,000 silver, 2 clan boss keys, 10 times mystery shards, and the amazing champion adjudicator. This package will be available for the next 30 days. Now it's time for out today. Bro, I am sweating. There are a lot of words. A lot of words in there.
Do you want me to read out today while you do?
Sure.
Like, get some water?
Yeah, do out today. I'll pick up at new days.
All right. Out today, Temtem, that Pokemon-like MMORPG, is out on PC. Psycho, Shooting Stars Alpha, is out on Switch. Lumini is out on PS4. Ember is out on Switch. Caveman Chuck is out on Switch. Deer Simulator, your average everyday deer game, is out on PC. Great Utopia is out on PC and Mac. Caveman the Game is out on PC. Super Kickers League is out on PC. Neverwinter Infernal Descent is now available on PC and will launch on Xbox One and PS4 on February 25th. Jump Lord is out on PC. Killer Queen Black, the strategic 8-player arcade game platformer from Liquid Bit and Bubble Bear Games, adds much-requested full 8-player local multiplayer on Nintendo Switch and Steam, as well as new features and quality of life changes in today's update. Update 1.60 includes 8-player local support for PC and console, region selection on Switch, custom online and local matches can be started by single player, bots can fill out local and custom matches, teams in local and custom matches can be automatically shuffled, streamer mode, choose which names to display in-game and in menus, map pools now skew towards more variety and fewer repeats, various bug fixes and UI improvements, Taurus VR is now available on Steam Early Access, and Mutazone, I think is how you pronounce that, adds new garden mode along with 6 additional languages.
Awesome. New dates. PS4 exclusive classic survival horror Dawn of Fear releases on February 3rd. To celebrate, Killer Queen Black is currently on sale for $9.99 on the Nintendo eShop and Steam. What are they celebrating? They just say to celebrate. Rogue platformer, Scourgebringer. Greg is the one that added these to the docs. I just want to say that for the people listening. Rogue platformer, Scourgebringer hits Steam Early Access February 6th.
I'm just saying, you don't need like a thing to celebrate. It's fun to celebrate.
just to celebrate.
We're just
life.
Fucking celebrating.
We're on sale.
Dude.
Just celebrating. Mobile Suit Gundam Extreme versus Max Boost On has been announced and is coming in 2020.
That games are huge.
Like now, before we move on to deals of the day.
Yes. What's this that you brought up?
So Barrett? I brought up Caveman the Game because I was so interested. Because in my mind, I was like, Caveman the Game. I wonder if this is like what in my mind Conan the Game.
Conan Exiles?
Exiles is. And boy, was I fucking wrong.
really?
So here is Caveman the Game.
Since the beginning of time, man has... Oh, wow. This looks like... Wow. Whoa.
Is this a Geico commercial?
It gets crazier,
this
guys.
Looks like the most cheapest... Like, this most looks like the cheapest cartoon
this is animation. Like the French cartoons Nickelodeon would air, like, really early in the morning.
This feels like a rip-off Lucasfilm or LucasArts game.
This looks
in
like the 90s. Like the early stages concept art for Dave the Barbarian.
I don't know why you did this, but I have skills that will be... That was Liam Neeson's famous line.
Oh, yeah. I have some skills for you. Oh, wow. Was this a game?
You don't return. I will look for you.
Like, what is the gameplay? Is this the gameplay?
I think so.
Finally, the Joe and Max test are
revealed. I will find you and I will punish you.
The red dinosaur on the red background is a good choice.
Say what you will about the art style of this game. The textures here are clean. That's what I'll say.
Caveman
you know?
The Game.
You know how Cuphead just looked like an actual cartoon? Caveman the Game. I couldn't tell what was gameplay, what was cutscene.
By the way, Barrett, I dropped a thing in the Slack that we wanted to look at.
Deal of the day. Gilly Brums writes in and says, "What up, Blessing and Imran? Today's deal roundup is a doozy. Microsoft's weekly Xbox Gold deals have some killer discounts. I encourage everybody waiting on a specific game to go on sale. Waiting for a specific game to go on sale to check out the Xbox Store, but I've rounded up a few highlights I'm listing here. Red Dead 2 is 50% off at $29.99, and these are dollars. AC Odyssey is down 75% at $14.99. The entirety of Dark Souls series is 50% off or more. Monster Hunter's new expansion, Iceborne, is $10 off, and you can secure some more recent releases like Control and Code Vein at around $20 off. There are tons more that I'm not going to list, but... lots of great deals in the Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Tomb Raider, Lego, and Dragon Ball series, alongside some other Ubisoft, Square Enix, and indie discounts. Quite a few under $5 too. Amazon is matching a few of these deals. So if you're like me and have some Amazon credit, check there first. Have a great week, best friends, Gilly Brums. Thank you, Gilly Brums. Also, I want to shout out all Half-Life games are free to play until April 1st on Steam. Which I might be taking advantage of because that sounds awesome. I want to play me some Half-Life 2, Half-Life Episode 1, Episode 2, Half-Life 1, you know?
I feel like you're just making shit up now.
Half-Life 2, colon, Episode 1.
Half-Life 2.8, Half-Life Birth by Sleep. I want to play all these games. Also,
the Fragmentary Passage of Gordon Freeman.
Yeah. Also, Dishonored 2 is $13.99 on PSN until February 5th. And do we want to take a look at what you select, Barrett?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So the remake of Mewtwo Strikes Back, the first Pokemon movie, is coming through, or releasing through Netflix next month.
Let's see go. That's awesome.
And they have a trailer for it if we want to watch that.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay.
That looks awesome.
All right.
I've been told it looks weird.
Do we...
Now, this won't get us in trouble.
Okay,
right?
I have two questions. This might get us in trouble. And two, do we want to save this for a trailer react?
Oh, that's a good point. We might want to save this for a trailer react.
Okay, yeah, let's save it for a trailer react then.
Now let's get into reader mail. Of course, you can write in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames at the bronze level if you want your reader mail read on the show. Panks writes in and says, "Hey, Blessing and Imran, this weekend in Chicago is the Near Orchestra concert.
I'm going.
Are you going?
Yep.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. You might run into Panks because Panks says, I'm going and I can't wait. I can't help but wonder, though. Square Enix recently created a 10th anniversary website for the series, implying that something will be happening to mark the occasion this year. Since Yoko Taro has been confirmed to be at the show, what do you think the chances are that his next game gets announced there this weekend? If not that, then what about something else, like a remaster of the original Nier or a Switch port of Nier Automata? I know you both mentioned being huge Nier stands, so I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Imran Khan. What do you think are the chances of something Nier related being announced at this Nier concert?
It might be hinted at. I don't think they ever announced anything because that just doesn't jive with their marketing plans. There are some theories currently going around that Babylon's Fall is actually just a secretly a Nier Drakengard game.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So Well, there's nothing really going based on what we've seen so far in the trailer. But the Nier account on Facebook and Twitter has retweeted every thing about that game so far.
Interesting.
And last time I talked to Yoko Taro, he said he wanted to have the sequel to Nier Automata out by the 10th anniversary of Nier, which is this year.
Interesting.
So that would fit.
I can't imagine that game turning out. Like, I could see maybe being in the same universe, but yeah. I couldn't imagine them being pulling back the curtain, being like, oh, it's Nier Babylon's Fall is what the full title is.
Or something.
That'd be crazy.
Because Nier Automata was really just called Nier sequel, when they first revealed it. And the way that game's universe is set up is they can do whatever the fuck they want at this point, because Drakengard 3 set it up so there's multiple universes. Everything's literally every possibility of everything is happening at once.
So for people who are unfamiliar, Nier Automata is a sequel to a specific ending of the first Nier, right?
It's a little more complicated. So Drakengard 1 had a joke ending. Or not a joke ending, but a more convoluted ending where the main characters who were in a fantasy world ended up going to modern day Tokyo and defeating a monster there and then got shot down with the Air Force.
Uh-huh.
Nier picks up after that of turns out bringing a monster from a fantasy world to get destroyed in modern day fucks everything up with a real bad sickness.
Uh-huh.
So that sort of causes the end of the world. And so Nier is basically based on the ending of Drakengard 1.
Yeah.
The Nier Automata is set 10,000 years after Nier 1. So it all it has basically almost no relation up until the last hour of the game.
Uh-huh.
But it's not based on any specific ending per se, because the final ending of Nier 1 is a more final. It's hard to say what's canon for Nier and what's not, honestly.
Yeah.
And Drakengard 3 further complicates that by making it so there are time travelers and universe travelers, and it's all very complicated.
Yeah. I mean, having played, because I've only played Nier Automata, and I really liked Nier Automata. I really enjoyed that game, but I could definitely not explain to you everything that went on in that game.
I'm writing a book about it, and I could not explain to you what's going on.
You're writing a book about it?
That's writing a book about Yoko Taro specifically.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, dude. Nier seems, as from playing just Nier Automata, seems like a very complicated universe. It's almost Metal Gear Solid-ish, but more it's not Metal Gear Solid. By the time you get to 4, Metal Gear Solid does a lot of retroactively changing the lore. Nier seems more so it's from the ground up, it's meant to be weird and wacky and
well, it's also very cerebral. Disparate. It's to get the full story of Automata, you need to have watched a stage play. Two stage plays at this point, because there's a second one now. And it was only shown in Japan. So I've seen a subtitled version that people put on YouTube, and that's but also they kind of hint at that stage play within the game in the form of a text. It's a weird thing, but
interesting.
They put all this stuff in books and all these things. I asked Yoko Taro about it once, and he was you don't need to know the whole story. It's fine if you don't. Just play the games if you just want to play the games.
Yeah, but
that's not the way gaming industry works, and that's not the way fandom works.
When do you think we see taking Babylon's Fall out of the equation? If it turns out Babylon's Fall is not a new Nier game.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think we see a new Nier game?
It might be a while, because the director of Nier Automata, the gameplay director, I want to say his name is Yosuke Saito. No, not Saito. I'm totally blanking on his name. Mm. But he was working on he directed Astral Chain.
Yes.
So it's probably I imagine he was not co-directing Nier at the same time. So it could be the sequel they've been working on within Square Enix instead of with Platinum. It could be that they just started on it recently. So who knows?
Interesting.
They did say they wanted something over the 10th anniversary. That could be, Platinum. Originally, when Platinum approached Square Enix about a new Nier game, they were like, hey, why don't we port Nier 1 to Vita? And Square Enix was like, no, let's just do a sequel instead. So that's how they started on that game. They could just port Nier to Switch. They could make a remake with a more modern system, because that game definitely had some problems. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It had some problems.
Interesting. Man, I'm excited. I wish I could go to that Nier concert. That sounds a good time.
I bought tickets immediately.
Because, dude, Nier Automata has maybe one of the best soundtracks ever made.
Yes.
If not, I don't want to say the best soundtrack ever made, but it's in contention. Yes. Like, that soundtrack is really good.
If you've never played Nier, Nier 1 soundtrack is also up there.
Really?
I would say it's a better soundtrack than Automata, but it's going to vary depending on the person.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now let's get into Squad Up. Greg from Edmonton writes in and says, I recently picked up The Division 2 on PC for $6, Canadian dollars, thanks to the amazing Epic Game Store sale over the holidays. I got to $550 on the PS4, but eventually stopped because of a lack of people to play with. And I'm guessing $550 is like the power level, but power level is a Destiny thing. So like that, their version, I don't know. I'm wondering if any KFBFs out there are still playing on PC. I sent an invite to what looks to be the main KF clan on PC, but I've yet to get accepted or declined. Greg's Uplay, this is Greg and Greg from Edmonton. His Uplay is Opterix underscore 73. That is spelled Opterix underscore 73. So if you want to hit up Greg, if you're playing Division 2 on PC, do that. Now it's time for kindafunny.com/you'rewrong to see what we've got wrong today.
Let's see.
Let's see here.
Takahisa Tora, that was the name I was thinking of.
Okay, yeah, because I was looking up Yosuke Saito and they
he's a producer on
the game. Yeah, he has producer credits. Yeah. Let's see. People wrote in about the Xbox X Cloud stuff.
Yeah, a lot of this is just updates.
We covered Godfall update. Oh wait, what is this Godfall update?
They said that's gear old PC footage,
which I think lines up.
Yeah,
honestly, it doesn't look like anywhere near a complete game in that.
Yeah, but also I suspect that's trailer. Just how next generation and launch games are going to look. They're going to look like current generation games with more effects.
Yeah.
Which is, like, again, that's totally fine.
Yeah, that's
the way it's always been.
Yeah. Let's see. Mr. Jasmine writes in about the Pokemon trailer, which we saw.
Well, we're going to see, but we saw the news.
During the Final Fantasy Distant Worlds concert, they showed a quick clip of Final Fantasy VII Remake footage. So announcements or looks at new things during the Nier concert is possible.
It's definitely possible. It's
from the Nail Biologist.
There was a Zelda concert once where Aonuma came out and, like, teased Skyward Sword HD, but then that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
On the lines of Ubisoft delay, Skull and Bones has been in development hell and is constantly getting. They haven't really been announcing Skull and Bones delay. I don't remember them ever saying officially that Skull and Bones is delayed.
At a couple of financial calls, they've been like, "Yeah, Skull and Bones is not coming out this year." The creative director left last year. Usually, when a creative director leaves, that game is on fire or is being massively changed somehow.
Gotcha.
So I get the feeling the Skull and Bones that exists now is probably not the same thing we saw.
Like I feel like the assumption is definitely there that internally it's been delayed because they just haven't talked about it really in the last year or so.
I mean, it's definitely been delayed because I think it was like they didn't have a date, but it was definitely intended for a more recent financial year than this one.
Yeah. 100%. That was from Nanobiologist, so thank you. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve.